This is Dr. Bill Deagle, and I am so amazed and happy I have my amazing guest, Ellie Marzulli. He's been on for years. One of the most brilliant and brave men asking tough questions. And remember, people, questions come from your higher self, your soul. And when you ask questions, those are the only ones that can acquire wisdom are those that ask questions. Ellie is one of those brilliant men, brave men that's done that. So you see a picture of my first line kit, but I'm going directly to his website, which is L.A. Marzulli, M-A-R-Z-U-L-L-I.net. You've got amazing, you're a filmmaker, you're an author, you're a lecturer, you're part of the major team of the upcoming third conference for the, how can I say this, with Steve Quayle. It's going to be, I think, in Branson, Missouri again. What's it called again?
It's the Steve Quayle's conference, and yes, it is in Branson. It's basically on cataclysm, catastrophism, what happened in the past and what's going to happen now.
I'd like you to just talk about the topics now. You sent me a bunch of topics here, and I'm going to let you kind of explore those. You mentioned here a couple of things. The Nephilim, America's Stonehenge, the Baal Stone, the Sacrificial Altar, the Oracle Chamber, Dispersion versus Isolation. Now, I often interrupt my guests. What I want to do is I want you to talk as much as possible, and when you want to pause, then I will try to insert a question. But start off with whatever topic you want, and we'll let it go. And when you pause, if you want me to kind of raise a question or an issue, I'll do that. Okay, so I'm trying to change the way I present people so that it flows more smoothly. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, it's great to be on the show, Doc, and thanks for having me back on. You and I go back a number of years, and, I've been on the trail of the Nephilim basically for decades now, and continue to shout a warning. For those of you who aren't familiar with my work, I've written 13 books, 14 is in the oven. I've produced 11 shows with my good friend Richard Shaw, who passed away last year, very untimely passing, and younger than I am. I think he passed away at like 65, 66 years old.
What was his name? William very Shaw, untimely. Was it Shaw, S-H-A-W?
It was Richard Shaw, S-H-A-W.
Wow.
And so Richard and I did 10 of The Watchers shows together. Since then, I've done 7 of my own independent standalone films, and 4 of these are directed to On the Trail of the Nephilim. That's the name of the new series, On the Trail of the Nephilim. First of all, the Nephilim are the progeny of the fallen angelic hosts and the women of Earth, creating a hybrid entity known as the Nephilim. This is a biblical statement. I'm not making it up, and it springs from the Genesis 3:15 narrative that states the seed of the dragon will be at enmity at war with the seed of the woman. Another translation of that would be the offspring of the dragon will be at enmity at war with the offspring of the woman. And then it continues, he, the coming one from the woman, will crush the dragon's head. The dragon will bruise this person's foot, which is, of course, the Messiah, which those of us who are Christians believe happened 2,000 years ago. Nearly 2,000 years ago. So it's a seed war, and most people aren't even aware that it's a seed war. But as I say in one of my many videos online on our YouTube channel, L.A. Marzulli, there is a hidden history which has been deliberately obfuscated. And if the Nephilim were on the earth, as we read in our Bibles thousands of years ago, can we and do we see vestiges of them on the planet? And here's the rub. The short answer to that is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. And that's why we're on the trail. I don't have time to get into everything. Obviously, it's only an hour show. But I was down in Peru, I've led tours down there to places like Sacsayhuamán, where you see these huge megalithic stonework, which, you can't duplicate in modernity. I mean, you can't. You might be able to do it with lasers and diamond saws. But, 3,000 years ago, none of that stuff existed. So what we do see is a hidden history. And as I mentioned, Dr. Deagle, in my list of talking points to you, there are two prevailing, it's actually only one prevailing mindset in modern-day archaeology, but there's two prevailing thoughts that one can have, two positions that a person can have when looking at archaeology, anthropology. One is diffusionism, the other is isolationism. The prevailing paradigm is isolationism, and that basically states that, well, people really don't move around that much. Cultures are very static. They just kind of sit in one place. They don't travel. They don't want to see what's down that river or across that ocean or across that valley or mountain. So they'll sit in one place, whereas a diffusionist mindset or position is the fact that, no, that's not the case. People want to move. People want to go and see what's over that valley. What's over that mountain? What's at the other end of the valley? What's downriver? If there's a sea or an ocean, gee, I wonder where it goes. And so I'm an ardent diffusionist. With that in mind, and this is where it ties into my work on the Trail of the Nephilim, we believe that these cultures traveled into the Americas thousands of years ago, well in advance of Columbus. In fact, when we've interviewed Native Americans about just this thing and asked them, let's say the serpent now, in regard to the serpent now. The serpent now is the largest serpent iconography on the planet. It's in near Peebles, Ohio. I've been there numerous times, and you really only can appreciate it and understand what it is you're looking at when you're about 300 feet in the air. When you're down on the ground looking at it, you see the undulations, but even with the three-story tower that they built on the site, it's very difficult to see what you're looking at. And it's the serpent in the act of swallowing an egg or a seed. And that, of course, tells back to the Genesis 3:15 narrative. Native Americans state on the record, and we show this in our films, The Mysterious Mound Builders, which is the very first in the ongoing series of On the Trail of the Nephilim. We show that a quote from a Native American tribal leader, Chief Wallace, who states on the record that Shawnee, one of the chiefs of the Shawnee tribe, did not build the serpent mound. Now, she says that in her publication, in their publication, and she put on the record. There's new signage that the powers that be have put up to claim. No, but that's not what the Shawnee says.
Yeah, I know. So, why would they purposely stop that? And I can take your theory when you finish your discussion. Go ahead.
Well, basically what it is anything that goes against their narrative has to be dealt with. And the fact that the serpent mound, in my opinion, as do other mounds like Cahokia, like the Great Circle and Octagon Complex that we see in Newark, Ohio, everything that you see there points to a supernatural origin. For instance, if that's true, in other words, let's just look at the Octagon Mound in Newark, Ohio. Once again, when you're there and standing inside it, you have no idea what it is. You really don't. I mean, you know it's something really big. It's 50 acres plus. That's how big the octagon is.
Wow.
50 acres.
Now, you're talking about something that we couldn't even build today if we chose our technology. Please continue. Right?
Well, we could do it today because we got lasers and triangulation.
It would take billions of dollars to build something like this. And with some of the technology, it would be very difficult to reproduce, wouldn't it?
Well, what's astounding to me, and I know you know this, that these sites are built on an 18-and-a-half-year lunar cycle.
Right.
And this is the elephant in the room, which no one wants to address.
Right.
And there's a mathematician who wrote this wonderful book. His name is Tom, T-H-O-M. He's an English bloke. And he wrote this book several decades ago trying to figure out how megalithic man knew trigonometry and somehow knew the course of the lunar cycle. And so he has this idea of stakes in the ground and charting all this information. Well, all that's well and good until one begins to really peel back the layers of the onion. First of all, if you go back, let's say 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, when I believe the Octagon Mound was built, I think it's far older than what modern day archaeologists place it at. But that's another story.
Well, that's at least the latest incarnation of it. It probably goes back even further, right? Just like when you went to the Nazca Plains, you found signs that it was very much more ancient than people thought. Please continue.
Well, and that's exactly true. So it's who's paying for whose space to start digging in the earth, and then who checks the data.
Right.
Getting back to the 18-and-a-half-year lunar cycle, and this is the rub. So it's an 18-and-a-half-year lunar cycle, which means that somehow person out there looking at the moon, first of all, has no idea where they are when they start tracking the moon. The moon rises and sets on a 30-day cycle, roughly, okay?
Right.
And it's different all the time. it's moving and changing and rises and waxes and wanes. This is what it does. So you go out there on day number one, and you put a stake in the ground, and the moon comes up, and you put a few notches in it. You put another stake in the ground where it finally wanes and disappears. And you do this for about 30 days, and you're writing all this information on a deer hide. Okay? Because there's just no paper. There are no computers 3,000 years ago. Oh, but wait. On day 31, a 10-day storm comes in, and it completely obliterates the sky so where you can't see the moon. So now what do? You got to start over again. This is what we're up against. And what's astounding is, Doc, is the fact that whoever did this, they had to somehow crunch the data and realize, oh, wait, we've been here before. Yay, we're at the end of the cycle. Yay, it's 18 and a half years. They didn't know that. How would they even begin to understand that and compute it and collect the data? The Book of Enoch, found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, quoted in the Tanakh, quoted also in the New Testament, states that a fallen watcher angel by the name of Sariel taught the course of the moon, handed that knowledge to mankind. So who are we going to believe? And this is what we're up against. If my paradigm is true and my research holds muster, then we're looking at something which is utterly supernatural. And this is what the powers that be don't want to let out. So all these sites are controlled. Most of the sites, I should say, are controlled. But our new film, America Stonehenge, is number 4 in the series, part 1. America Stonehenge, the Baal connection, clearly shows a Canaanite connection. It's actually the America Stonehenge, the Canaanite connection. And we discovered, and when I showed this on film, because Kelsey Stone, who is the third generation of the Stone family who have been taking care of the site. America Stonehenge is about 115 acres in New Hampshire. There's a large sacrificial altar, there's megalithic stonework, and of course there are standing stones throughout the complex pointing to the summer solstice, to winter solstice, and the equinoxes. So it's a very complex site. And I've been there about 4 or 5 times now, and every time I go there, I glean something more. But Kelsey Stone is guiding me through this one of the first times, and I've got a little camera called an Osmo, and so this is kind of like B-roll stuff, and what I thought was B-roll stuff, and I'm filming Kelsey, and he comes over to the display case, and he goes, these are some of the stones that were found on the site with writing that was later deciphered by Dr. Barry Fell, who was a professor at Harvard University.
Right.
So he goes, and this is the Baal stone. And I go,
By Baal, being that mean, or Baal, B-A-A-L. That's important. Please.
Correct, B-A-A-L.
Baal. And remember the way, Baal worship was one of the things of the ancient pagans around the ancient Israelites. And people have to understand the origin of this. Please continue.
Exactly. So he goes, this stone says to Baal of the Phoenicians. It's a dedication stone. So the site, which is 4,000 years old, was dedicated to Baal of the Canaanites,
right.
The Phoenicians.
4,000 years ago. Whoa.
4,000 years
ago. By the way, at this stone, if you're talking about that, then look at the dates. This is before Abraham left Ur of the Chaldeans to start the Hebrews and had the descendants that became the 12 tribes of Israel. This is 1,000 years before that, right?
This is exactly what we're looking at, and that's why it's absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, it really is mind-boggling. And there's a sacrificial altar there. Some of the stones and the connectivity, which is actually in part 2, are just mind-blowing. And you can only do this through triangulation in the air. And, our mission statement, my mission statement here is to expose the deception of the prince of the power of the air and the herald of the return of the king, Jesus. And so what we're trying to do with all this is to show that there is a hidden history that we're not being told.
Right.
That despite what modern-day archaeologists and anthropologists insist, many of these people have never actually been to the site.
Right. That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, look, when I was there at America Stonehenge, they showed me this oracle chamber. And in the film, I cut to the oracle chamber on the island of Malta in a place called the Hypogeum, which we visited. And just like many of these sites, and here you go again, stuck with all this stuff. So when you go to Malta and you go to the Hypogeum, you can go in it, but you can't take any photos. In fact, there's lockers. They only bring about 10 to 15 people down into it at one time. You have to put your phone, cameras, and anything else in these lockers, and then you go down to the Hypogeum.
By the way, they have new glasses now that you can take photos with these glasses. You know that?
Yeah, if I had known, I would have done that. But you go in there, and there's an oracle chamber in the Hypogeum. And I show this in the correlation between the oracle chamber on the island of Malta, the island of Malta, and the oracle chamber under the sacrificial table of America Stonehenge. And
wow.
That oracle in the Hypogeum, I actually stuck my head in it and went, and it absolutely resounds through the entire Hypogeum. I mean, it must have been really, really incredible. And no one knows what it was used for. And there's all these...
Why did they call it an oracle chamber? What do you think they were doing?
Well, a couple of things. One of two things. It's either the person that is... I honestly think it was a labyrinth because it was all underground. And it was to allow the giants to be, they would bring someone in there and to sacrifice to the giants.
Right.
Because there's two types of chambers. There's the chambers that are really large and very, very tall that can accommodate a 12-footer. And then there's the chambers for you and me. So it's...
You know they've been building those already in the earth already for the last number of years, last 100 years. They've been building everywhere. I took care of the guys, John Fiella and Bill Schneider, they were working with the companies building the chambers. You know that, right?
Well, I didn't know that, no.
Now, okay, please continue. I'm not going to interrupt you. I want you to continue. Go ahead.
So here's the deal. So there's the same type of an oracle chamber right underneath the sacrificial table at America Stonehenge.
Whoa.
In other words, if a person, and it's hidden, it's a hidden chamber. This whole chamber, in other words, when you stand in front, there's like a high place that looks down on the sacrificial table, which is about 10 feet long, about 5 feet wide. It's sort of trapezoidal in shape. And when you're looking at this thing, it just looks like there's a table there with like a stone floor around it, and then there's like a rise behind the table. But you don't, and it kind of rolls off into the hill below it. And it just looks like part of a natural landscape. What you don't know is that there's a special layer of clay like cement, which is waterproofed the entire area below it, which is right behind the sacrificial table, which hides the oracle chamber. That's where the oracle chamber is. It's hidden, so you wouldn't know it. So during the ritual, someone would be in that oracle chamber and doing all sorts of who knows what. It would be, it'd be very, extremely impressive. But here's something else. There's another chamber that's right next to it. And it can accommodate someone laying in it and sleeping there. And I cut from there, and now I'm on the island of Sardinia and also Italy, Norba, Italy, at two places where I'm in the identical type of a chamber, almost identical, right, where I'm in a chamber, and right next in that chamber is a place that's sort of hidden away, tucked away, where a grown man could sleep, lay out, and sleep there. And wow, we don't know, we think we know it was used ritualistically. You would go in there and you would absorb the energy of the spirits that dwell in that tomb of the giants.
You're familiar with a system for computers called Chrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where the actual name came from and why the Microsoft called it that? It goes back to what's called adrenochrome. Do you know what adrenochrome is?
No.
When you sacrifice a person, an animal, or a child, it creates adrenochrome, so when you actually have blood with adrenochrome, it makes you high and connect in the spiritual realm.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So, I know what you're talking about.
Right. So, in other words, when you terrorize a child or an adult before you sacrifice them and you drag it out, you create an adrenochrome, and when you draw the blood off them, it makes the people high and they get into higher spiritual connection.
Right.
And
right,
they call ectoplasm. Have you heard that term before?
Absolutely.
Okay,
sure.
So adrenochrome, when you hear Bill Gates and you hear about them calling their their operating system, Adrenochrome. Did you know that the next operating system that Microsoft has is called AI? Do you know that you're not going to be dealing with a AI system that's independent like a little software? It's going to be an individual called AI, called an AI interactive system. And they've actually got the term behind the scenes called Adrenochrome. Did you know that?
It's very interesting. You know, Russ Dizdar is going to be at our conference in Ohio. Russ and I are putting on a conference called Nephilim Again.
Right.
And Russ is going to be talking about avatars and AI.
Right.
Because, yeah, we're very alarmed, well, both of us. Well, we're extremely alarmed by what we see, because what this is a gateway into the fallen realm.
Well, that's what really let me throw two facts up. I want to hear your response to them. I'm not going to expand them a lot. The first one is that 60 years ago, when I had my near-death experience, and a French surgeon cut an artery in my throat to do a tonsillectomy, I went down a tunnel of light and I met not only Yeshua, but the Father in heaven. Okay, basically it's the same God. There's only one God. And without getting into a big long story, what people need to understand is where heaven is, there's no such thing as a past or future. Everything to God is now. There's no such thing as size or dimension. What people need to start understanding is, who were we before we became humans on Earth? And one of the things that he taught me that I was not allowed to say to the nuns when I came back after 3 months in isolation, after I got my blood transfusions, I was able to tell them this one, a couple of facts. One of them was, then God told me I could say this because he taught me quantum mechanics when I was in space, as a child in heaven. And so in grade 11, when I did my quantum mechanics testing, aptitude test with a grade 11 teacher for MIT, I beat 7,000 people for a scholarship aptitude test at MIT in plasma nuclear physics, and I turned it down, didn't want to make weapons to kill people. But one of the things I was permitted to tell the nuns when I got back, and I was only 8 years old, at the Catholic school in Toronto, Nova Scotia, was that there were more galaxies in the universe. What God told me was, locally, 266 quadrillion galaxies, and there was curved time-space, and that the entire realm of the local galaxies was an elemental particle in a hydrogen atom and a water molecule and a butterfly in a larger universe where God is still God. That's the first fact. And the second one, and when I said that to the nuns, plus other facts, on my day of graduation in 1977, the Vatican sent me a priest to offer me a job to become one of the doctors for the Pope and the Cardinals in Rome. And I turned them down. 1977. I've never told you this before. Now, what happened is, the other thing he did not let me say to anybody, not my mother, not the nuns, not my parents, not my first wife, not my second wife, nobody, until a few weeks ago, on the first day of the apocalypse, which, by the way, the apocalypse started on Monday, the 27th of January, 2020, when he woke me up at 3:30 in the morning to release my video and information about the SARS coronavirus COVID, because I've been preparing for a super plague for decades, okay? Now, without getting into all the details, this is a fact, and I want to hear your response to it, because it'll integrate with what you know. And we talked about this yesterday when we had on our show Ken Klein. Now, Ken Klein is in his 70s, is a surviving Jew. His family were in the Holocaust, and he's in his 70s, and I consider him like an Ezekiel-type prophet. And believe it or not, this is hard for me to do, I didn't interrupt him for an entire hour of the show and just made a comment at the end of it, which is hard for me to do, but I did it, okay?
Yes.
Now, what he taught me, and I know this is true because God told me not to say it for 60 years, but God, the Father, you know, we call in the infinite God, who can be a burning bush or a mountain, he incarnated in distant worlds as both humanoid and non-human beings, and he brought me, when I was a little 8-year-old boy, for the first of 3 times to what's called the Council of the Eschaton, which represented 100 million civilizations in the local cosmos. And there were both humanoid and non-human beings across this cosmos, and God actually incarnated and brought scriptures and suffered on these ancient worlds all across the cosmos, just like Yeshua. So there's not three gods, there's only one. But God has incarnated in a limitless number of worlds to bring the truth of the infinite one to these beings. Now that truth is the first time I ever heard anybody say it, was God said after 60 years, he gave me permission to say it 3 weeks ago. So I want you to respond to those two things. Number one, we were pre-incarnate, and this is what Ken talked about yesterday. We were in the part of the angelic host, and when we fell away from God's will, he gave us the opportunity to come back and be incarnated in human flesh and be redeemed by Yeshua, by the Father in the flesh, giving us a pathway back to God. And those who would not be incarnated, they became the Nephilim. And I believed in my spirit that this is true because my co-prophet I call Ken Klein, he's got proof, and I have knowledge going back 60 years. This is what God told me when I was a little boy in heaven, that the ones who would not come back and be redeemed are the ones incarnated in the flesh of the Draco reptilians and all the other beings that are the fallen ones or the Nephilim that even try to hybridize with humans. That in fact, we were angelic beings, and what God did is he contracted for us as angelic beings to build the universe under as contractors. And the ones that fell away and decided to reincarnate, they came to Earth as humans. And the ones who refused to reincarnate and stayed with the fallen one, Lucifer, they became the Nephilim. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting take. It's one that I wouldn't, you know, hold.
I want you to research. I don't ask people to believe anything I say. Yeah, I want to do three things. I want them to research it. I want them to study it with other experts they have. And I want you to pray, because I tell you, everybody has a Urim and Thummim stone in their soul, like a breastplate of the high priest. And they have a yes-no to say, you know what? There's a set, you know, before we were on Earth, we were the angelic host, and we fell away, and God gave us a pathway. And the ones who were willing to actually reincarnate to have a pathway back to God became humans on Earth, and the ones who refused became the Nephilim. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. I will. It's a completely different take than what I have.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, but I'm saying that it's a vast universe with hundreds of millions of civilizations. If you just take the Drake equation, my brother Kevin is involved he's a computer wizard, but he's involved with what's called the SETI Project. And if you just take the Drake equation, just in the last billion years, now this current universe we consider is 14.73 billion years old. Just the last billion years, just in our local small spiral galaxy, just using the Drake equation, there should be 100 million civilizations at or above our level of development. 100 million. Wow. The last billion years. So, in other words, I heard this question stated a couple of times, and I want to hear your response to this, that there's two questions you can ask. One is, are we alone in the universe, or are we in a populated universe? And both answers are scary, aren't they? Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was just at the Alien Snowfest, and I was basically... George Norrie asked, is there anyone in the room that didn't believe in life on other planets? And I was the sole person who raised my hand.
Uh-huh.
Because I believe this whole thing is a holographic universe.
Oh, of course it is. Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe that we're the only ones on the stage. And the reason for this is the scripture says that God's going to roll up the universe like a scroll and create a new heaven and a new earth.
Well, he's done it multiple times. This is not the first time. According to the role of the seven thunders, God has scrolled up the universe multiple times. This is not the first time. Remember, he's the infinite one.
Let's circle back to the film, because this is speculation. What isn't speculation is what's in New Hampshire.
Right.
And what was there, and what we filmed, and what we discussed in the film.
Right.
Rewrites history. I mean, it literally...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's... There's things like you have good proof with archaeology that's something we know. We can speculate on the other things, and I tell people to pray on it, because I had my near-death experience 60 years ago, and can tell you, what we have to understand is that our fate as human beings, and this is where we're going on this, Yeshua Jesus, God's Father in the flesh, his name means Yahashua HaMashiach. The word Jesus is a kind of a bastardization, it's a Greek word. Yahashua HaMashiach in Hebrew means the Yah, the breath that created everything, that literally incarnated in human flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is not a lesser God. He is God. He is the God.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And what happens is, when he returns, he's coming back to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And who is he marrying? Us collectively. And we are become called the Queen of the Heavens. We're talking about the cosmic heavens.
Amazing new
not just the eternal heavens, but the cosmic heavens.
To whom we
spread to limitless worlds and tens of thousands of millions of years to colonize and literally evangelize and
rebuild
the chaos in a godly way, not an ungodly, systemic way, using both good and evil. You've got
to
understand this. All the religions are all apostate. The Catholic Church, the Protestant churches, the Muslim Church, they all do both good and evil, which is a Luciferic way of opposition. For example, people think the U.S. Constitution is Christian. No, it's not. The Great Dragon Prop set up opposition powers of the executive, legislative, and legal branch. They maintain order out of chaos because they're using Luciferic principles. Take the fear of the knowledge of good and evil, which is what Eve was told by the serpent. which is you can do good and evil and ask God to maintain order out of chaos. That is the ultimate deception, because most people realize the secret orders do most of the good works in the world, including the secret orders like the Jesuits and the Scottish Rite Masons, which, by the way, Donald J. Trump and his father are high-level Scottish Rite Masons. His Masonic name, do you know what it is? Apollyon Rising. He was designated to be the one to recolonize Mars. Did you know that before you got elected president?
When you take power, see if
that's a big deal, isn't it? And you see us all connected, right?
And the antiquities that are all around us. America's Stonehenge is just one of the many sites in the Americas. And there's connectivity, which I will reveal now, to other sites, which are absolutely mind-boggling. And you can only do this when you're in the air. You can only do it when you triangulate in the air.
By the way, I'm showing all your pictures of all your videos you've done, because I tell people they must. This is required reading and watching. They must buy your videos and get your books, and not only did that, get your Bible out and realize none of this is violating any scripture in the Bible. This is all embedded deeply in the Bible, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is. And what people don't understand, again, there's this hidden history in the world that shows an influx of the supernatural. I mean, it shows, it's like right there. And yet, when you go to these sites, like let's take Sacsayhuaman, because I mentioned that earlier, you'll get these guides from Peru that insist that the Inca were master stone builders, but there's absolutely no evidence that the Inca were able to move the stones, let alone carve the stones with such precision and place them.
Yeah. What is this guy? Are you talking about like in Egypt, you know, for example, Zaki Hawass, right?
And
I have a friend, it drives me nuts too. Barbara Honecker, who's an archaeology expert, she worked for two administrations as a CIA agent, and she's been on the show a bunch of times, including back in January 9th. She just went back to Scotland, but on her way back, she went to Egypt, and she got into the Labyrinth. Now, the Labyrinth is one of the biggest ancient underground facilities in the world. It's in the plateau where all the Giza Plateau pyramids are. And these are, like, immense things underground. We've had our expert on, Jonathan Gray, who's in his 80s. Over the last 50 years, he's traveled all over the world. He's been in the underground cities in Turkey, along the tunnel systems all the way along the spine of South America. Some of these tunnels are very ancient. When I took care of my buddies, John Fiala and Phil Schneider, worked for Bechdel, they're using what's called nuclear tunnel boring machines, creating underground cities in dormant magma domes, because the crust of the Earth moves about every 20, 25,000 years. When a supernova hits the Earth and it moves nascent oxygen and hydrogen, it causes earthquakes and volcanoes, so it happens on a regular basis. And guess what? Right now, since December, Betelgeuse is collapsing in the belt of Orion, 671.2 light years, which means we're on the edge, with earthquakes really increasing, like Jesus said in Matthew 24, all over the world, because gravity waves are coming in from the collapse of Betelgeuse. So we know that the globalists know this. That's why they're building it with illegal money, drug money, human trade money, and organ money from all these different countries, including China. When you go to a Lhasa prison camp, the first thing they do is they tissue type you. In India, if they tissue type a kid that can transplant a kidney, his tissue type comes up, ask for it, he's going to get $7,000 for a kidney in the streets of Delhi, India. Do you know that? They tried to recruit me back in 1987 to work in Georgia, and I worked in a trauma and burning unit to declare people dead so they can whip their organs out. I said, go to hell. This is firsthand, not secondhand. So people need to understand what's going on is very vile, and the release of this super plague, along with 5G network. And by the way, 5G at 60 hertz blocks oxygen, so it causes hypoxia. So a combination of hypoxia and super plague, which is a chimeric supervirus, time with the world ID this October 1st, is all not accidental, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be very, very interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, it's all over the news and everything. But, you know, we'll have to just...
Well, see, your wisdom and your videos are essential for people to understand what's the ancient history, what's the archaeology, and you've got it. You've been brave enough over decades to put your effort, time, go to the sites, actually do videotapes and everything. So I just have, for example, on the Trail of Nephilim, American Stonehenge, on the Trail of Nephilim, Secrets of the Supernatural, and then you have a thing called the Expert DNA Analysis Results. Now, what's in that video, DNA Analysis Results? What does it show?
Well, the DNA analysis is actually number 6.
Right.
I went and redid the whole thing. It's an anthology. It has not been released yet, We've got a whole, and I don't really want to talk about that.
Right, right. I see. It says, you can add it to cart, though. I guess you can pre-order it, though, even though it's not released.
Well, it's what you're looking at with the DNA evidence. It's the older DVD, and it doesn't have a lot of new stuff. I'll say this, that we went down because this information has been released, but people still don't really understand what it's about, and that's why I redid the film. It's an hour long. It's number 6 on the Trail of the Nephilim, but this has doctors and surgeons and medical professionals come on the record and look at these very enigmatic elongated skulls and state that there's no way this is the result of cranial deformation, cradle headboarding, when you take a child and wrap the head to elongate the skull. This is genetic.
Right.
It is a genetic anomaly.
Right.
A genetic predisposition within this particular species, and it is a different species. And I posit in the film, and again, it's a hypothesis, that what we're looking at here is the Anakin, which means long necks.
Right.
So there are many different races.
Yeah, but you got the actual picture. You got
the Nephilim, the Zanzumim, the Emims, the Anakin. All these tribes are in the Levant, 3,000 years ago, 3,500 years ago. It's our hypothesis that there was a mass exodus of some of these tribes. Lo and behold, these mysterious elongated skull people in Paracas, Peru, show up about 3,000 years ago in Paracas, Peru.
Wow.
And we also believe that these things, they were nocturnal. And I can't give away too much of the show.
Well, no, you don't want to give too much. You want to get people to get the video. So I have some other ones on. I have them on the screen, so people, I want to hear you explain it to them. You have the American Stonehenge, you have Secret Supernatural, you have also Mathematical Mysteries of the Mound Builders, which is another one. And that one's available right now, too. This is important for people to understand. In other words, if you look at the mathematics, like the moon cycles, these people, there's no way they could have known this unless they had space objects or information transferred from otherworldly beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and you show it also. It's like, see, one of the most important things, which you do, I think, is brilliant, is you're real willing to ask questions. You don't necessarily have the answers, but you ask questions that the evidence just shoves the question in your face. And then you look at the physical evidence and you say, look at this, look at the mound builders. And then when you hear the native people tell you, we didn't build these, and then somehow the archaeologists are saying, now, I want to hear your response to this. 2 months before I joined Phyro Sigma, before medical school, because I had already had my PhD in oceanography, genetics, and marine genetics, I'm 21. He said, I'm so smart, I should join Phyro Sigma Medical Fraternity. Now, 2 years later, after I was in medical school, the head of hematology said, Neil, we're sitting over a steak. He said, when you're studying these pigs in the pig laboratory, because they're like human embryos, he said, pigs are part of human. I said, what? He said, pigs are part of human. I said, that's why they sacrificed, he said, in the ancient temples. He said, what? He said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, okay, you're kidding. I had too much beer or whatever. No. So we walked over to the hematology department at the U.S. hospitals. He showed me the blood components and subgroup of major market type drugs. Basically, he said, they're hybrid between wild boar and ancient human. I said, why did they do that? He said, they want them for sacrifice. That's why you'll see them in Islam and in ancient Judaism. They proscribe against human pigs as sacrifice because the ancient ones before them, they're reptilian to sacrifice. They sacrifice these hybrids in place of the human. So, he didn't understand. I learned things from my college. I'm not a hypomist, but I learned things that I connected to the other things I had found later when I got past my generation. And I have now to the knowledge that I connect to this is why 98% of what you say I believe right off the top. And I tell people this is a pleasant thing to do. And that's what you have is what's called the Trail of Nephilim. You've got work to serve and you've got fat of two. By the way, it's not a biblical report. It's a Nephilim phenomenon. Well, I'm trying to show you videos because I want people to know the real good range here.
Your body will high five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges.
That it was a UFO phenomenon. I mean, the witnesses in that field in 1917, there were 70,000 to 80,000 people gathered in the field because word had gotten out that there was going to be a supernatural sign by this entity which had exposed herself to these three children, and Lucia Jacinta in Francisco. So it's upwards of 80,000 people were gathered in the Moors, on the Moor of Fatima, Portugal, in 1917, awaiting the sign. Well, the sign happened, and people who were there witnessing it said, I looked up and saw a dull silver disc. That description is used over and over and over again. And in our film, Part 2 is Grand Phenomenon, we actually show a picture which has never been seen before in the United States, and is basically not even in Portugal. It was supposed to be aired in Portugal, and the powers that be put the kibosh on. And the picture was taken on that day, 1917, and it clearly shows a disc-like object directly hovering over the apparition site.
Right.
It is an object, and the gentleman, Jose Machado, who wrote a book, he's a semiologist, and he looked at the picture. He actually had access to the original glass slides from 1917 at the Fatima Archives. So he went in, and no one, get this, no one knew where the pictures were. No one knew where the glass plates were. No one knew. So it took him a couple of hours to locate the original glass plates. You would think these things would be guarded. They were in some closet someplace in a shoebox.
You're kidding.
So he picks them up. Yeah, he picks them up and looks at them, and he discovers out of the 12 glass plates which were taken during the apparition, and the consequence of the what's known as the miracle of the sun, which was not a miracle at all. It was a phenomenon created by this disc-like object. And there's problems with four of the slides. And we published it and show it in the film, Fatima 2. So
right.
This is what's amazing about this. I'm out there, we're creating these films, we're showing people what's going on.
No.
We have alternative explanations, and you would think that they'd be flying off the shelves. And, we're doing okay. I'm not
crying. Yeah, but you know, here's the thing, I'd ask you this question. Why are not the regular archaeologists, why are not universities, the regular politicians and scientists clamoring for this information? Because
exactly.
It's physical, like the skulls, these slides. This is not like your theory. We can speculate all you want. You've gone all over the world for decades and have evidence. Right?
Yeah, I mean, we do. And that's why we go to places like Fatima, and we sat down with literally the experts. Some of these people, like Joaquin Fernandez, had co-authored several books with Fina Di Armada. Both of these human beings, they're people of letters. They're well, highly educated. Fina Di Armada was the one that really broke the story open, and she had access to the archives at Fatima, and it was her research that showed that something else was going on.
Right.
That this entity that appeared was not the Mary of the Bible. And I realize it's a very controversial subject, and it's kind of disturbs some people to think that this whole thing could be a ruse. Well, you know, we can either live in deception, you can believe what you want to believe, and I state that in both films. People have the right to believe what they want to believe. We're not trying to rain on anyone's parade, but what we do show is that what appeared in that sky over 100 years ago now was not the sun. The sun did
right.
not descend
right.
from its position in the solar system and come down to Earth. It was something else.
Right. Now, here's the key question. Now, I believe that this conference coming up in July is going to be a particularly important coming up in July at Branson, Missouri, with Steve Quayle and a whole range of people. Now, I will probably not physically attend, but you can attend online, too. And it's called gensix.com, G-E-N-S-I-X.com. I tell people to buy it in advance because you can also get the Gen 1 and 2 conference videos, which I have, and I want to make sure that I've got pre-registration so when it goes live, I get it to watch it live in July when it goes. Because I don't know how bad things will be locked down, but even if you guys have to have, you know, physical protection so you get your videos out, I want people to support what you're doing. Because I'm very concerned that we're going to be at some form of medical martial law in the next 3 to 6 months. And I want to make sure that you guys get the information out, because it's very timely. The dark side is freaking out, and I'll tell you why. Have you ever heard of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, the Willy Wonka tickets are to go to Dom's or Dreamy Underground Bases. In March of 2001, after I did my simulation with Reserve Admiral Hughes with Operation Top Off and Dark Winter, I met again in 2001 with the FEMA director, CDC, and the FBI director, and the director of infectious disease at the University of Colorado. And we had a conference at the Adams Mark Hotel with military personnel, unclassified, reviewing these chemical, biological, nuclear terrorism and anti-terrorism work, okay, that I did, was classified work. And the FEMA director got up there and I said, look, I have your private manual, and if some catastrophe happens, it doesn't matter if it's a power outage, what we call the weapon of indignation, or super plague, or like, you know, like SARS, coronavirus, COVID-19, the military actually not to confront or help the public, they're to hide for 6 months and clean up the mess after 6 months after the power grid goes out. Now, I have classified documents that if the power goes out alone, no plague, no nothing else, no climate change, that 90% of the population in the world will be dead in 6 months from starvation, violence, cannibalism, God knows what. Now, people don't understand. I believe that this year, the primary thing, reason why we're seeing all these is because the globalists knew from their deep star system research, and their intuitives that know that now with the collapse of Betelgeuse, that they're going to have to soon go to their dumps or deeper underground bases or anywhere from 1.5 to 4 miles down. The problem is the tunnels near the surface will be broken, shattered, so if they go down there with their tunneling machines called their nuclear tunnel boring machines, if the microchips in their boring machines are fried or they can't get back up, they're not coming back up. They're going to be like the Morlocks of the movie The Time Machine in the book. So we're basically, I think, at a time where your information isn't peripheral. It's like, oh, that's entertaining, it's weird. It's like listening to Coast Radio. This is essential for the human race to grasp what you're teaching, isn't it? It's essential. It's not peripheral out there on the side, or it's somehow separate from the SARS coronavirus. This is connected, isn't it?
Well, it's not necessarily connected, I mean, in ways that people can see.
Well, not right directly, but indirectly it's connected, because right. If you don't understand the ancient history, you won't understand current history, right?
What my work does, and this goes back to our mission statement, is to expose the deception of the Prince of the Power of the Air and the herald of the return of the King. We are living in a window of time where the King is going to return. I mean, I'm not a date setter, but it's certainly...
Neither am I. In fact, if I did, it was a date setter... If it was a date center, I would say, look, don't pray to Eagle, because I'll give you the truth and you got to take it to your grave. What I want people to do is start preparing and getting prepped up, both emotionally and spiritually first, and then physically, for what's coming. Whether SARS or pole shift or whatever, be prepared, people. And I give them specific specs on that. I'll talk about elsewhere. And getting your videos and getting your books and getting to this conference, even online, is essential to know that this is not a theory out there. That's not supported. It's a theory that's very well supported with archaeological and other evidence, photographic evidence, right?
Absolutely, and that's really what makes the work that we do in the series. You know, we actually go to these places, we interview people, we spend time there. I spent 28 days overseas last year, and we've got hours and hours and hours of footage, which we will be revealing in upcoming films of the On the Trail of the Nephilim series.
Right.
But yeah, lamarzulli.net, and you can avail yourself of information which I think is cutting edge.
I believe it. And listen, I really appreciate you coming on the program today. When we get you back on next month, I think we'll probably get on at least once a month. We'll do our shows on, when we're doing parallel shows on Genesis Network and Vita Radio with Vimeo, live stream, YouTube, Facebook, but also I can do video any time of the day or week. You just have to call me and I can put you up either on, like we're right now, your website, or I can put you on camera. I can do 5 different sites simultaneously in the world in high definition at any time. I have a custom-made supercomputer. I've teched up on it. I was training in live stream over 12 years out of New York, so I can actually do a video conference if you want, for you just personally, anytime. All you have to do is tell me, and we can give people an advertisement and say, you log on to a specific place and you can get access to it. So you need to realize that what's going on now is we're up against it now, aren't we? And by the way, your information is not peripheral. It's central to understand what we are and where we're going, isn't it?
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to, stuff in the future. Thanks so much.
See, I didn't even interrupt you too much, did I? I was pretty good, hey? I'm trying to get better, trying to be a better Bill. How's that?
All right.
Take care. God bless. Thanks for coming on.
Take care.
God bless. Okay, we'll be back in a moment with our next hour guest. In a few minutes, I'm just going to go to our amazing nutraceuticals here, and we will... pop those up and do a little break for a couple minutes, and we'll be back in a few minutes. We will do a little cut here, and you'll see. see us.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent. Preserves 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis, changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, Myco-D2, provides amazing support for regeneration of any tissue or organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment.
Yeah, Dr. Chu, you're all set to talk in 2 minutes. Perfect. Well, good. I'm going to take a bio break. I've got a commercial running the video. We'll be able to go live in about 3-4 minutes. So just stay right there on the phone. Don't go away. All right. Take care.
NutriMedical's Power C Plus is the greatest support raised with the vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world because of calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium, ascorbate salt. With bioperin, a black pepper extract, increased absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. It's NutriMedical.com where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutriMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole
ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of germ-sourced allicin and is medically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Allied, you can't get more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com. Bringing nutrition and medicine together.
given on air are abbreviated protocols of the science and technology explained simply behind why we use this protocol to try to help you feel and regenerate and have your health return. We'll talk about polypharmacy. We integrate with regular medicine surgery. We provide biological protocols. Anyone can get a free protocol by just emailing us a starter. And if you purchase a product, you can get a call back at any time between Monday and Thursday after the show or on the weekend. So Dr. Bill is available for you. Get your questions into the contact us or 888-212-8871 or contact us at NutriMedical.com. Stay with NutriMedical every day.
Okay. We're back, and we will be going to hour number three in just a moment. Stay tuned. We'll be having Dr. Truad on from Mother Earth Minerals talking about